We fuse. Sarah Palin. Okay, so do you want to like full? So game again. It's a hashtag. I'm Nimrod, and I'm gonna introduce this man later.
Let's move to the
conceit. Yeah. Stop talking to critics like Anita Sarkeesian. Here now to be talked to is media critic and creator of the web series Feminist Frequency, Anita Sarkeesian. Mr. Anita, I'm trying to get out of here. All right. Look. The prize on the line. Okay. Let's call this what it is. You and the other feminazis in the gamer world are coming for our balls to snip them off, put them into a little felt purse, and take them away so we have to play your nonviolent games, right?
No, that's not true.
It's a culture war. It's a subculture war.
There is something going on, and what it is women being harassed and threatened and terrorized.
After you first attacked male gamers for enjoying looking at big-breasted women with tiny armor that barely covers their nipples. What is wrong with that? I like what that looks like. I'm a man, baby. Newsflash. I like it.
Well, one of the problems with that is it actually reinforces this cultural myth that women are sexual objects and sexual playthings for male amusement, and we're not.
We're saving them. They're damsels in distress. I'm saving the princess. Am I supposed to let the princess die? Is that what you want? That's kind of harsh. That's kind of hostile.
Well, maybe the princess shouldn't be a damsel, and she could save herself.
Well, they've got games where... They've got games... I didn't know you brought a posse.
Okay.
All right. So you've been the object of criticism yourself.
Yes.
What happened at Utah State University?
There was a threat that someone emailed to the school saying that they would commit the biggest school shooting massacre if I was allowed to speak.
But by criticizing these, you say, what you call them? Male fantasy games or male
some
fantasy objectification of women games?
Some of them, that would be
some
an accurate title, yeah.
Give me some names, give me some names.
So, in the work that I do, I look at hundreds of examples of video games
so
and
you
I
think of three.
I can, but I think it's a bigger issue to talk about the industry as a whole and how it perpetuates these ideas of sexism and misogyny as opposed to just Grand Theft Auto, for example.
Why do you think that women are being threatened? Because it's almost entirely women who are being threatened in Gamergate.
Yes.
Chris Chloe has talked about this. He hasn't been threatened. Other men haven't been threatened. Why do you think women are being threatened?
So I'm going to pause that and like show a quick example of what she actually does in her YouTube show. It's called Feminist. You can see how I type it. You see it's already on the autocomplete. So you know it's big if it's in the autocomplete. And here she just goes on and
like
shows.
As a set piece to establish or punctuate the seedy atmosphere of crime and chaos ridden fictional universes.
Far Cry 3.
It's meant to paint the gaming environment with a harsh brush, but it ends up doing so on the backs of women's bodies, casually sacrificing female characters in the name of setting a rude
minister
first aid or check in on the victim. Meaning that these female characters exist to be assaulted in order to give the player something to do, a reason to chase down the bad guy, exact vigilante justice on him, and gave me a lot of experience points.
Just
after which, the women
balls.
Are casually discarded, forgotten by the game.
That's enough. Whoa, she's all limp. I didn't even hit her that hard. Just makes our job easier.
Grand Theft Auto 4 requires the player to kidnap a woman.
Stop this thing, you slime bag!
Stop being such a fucking bitch! Calm the fuck down, or little birdies will be eating your brains off the dashboard tomorrow morning.
We got
during
access.
The mission, the protagonist character insults her and delivers a protest.
Okay. Is this too graphic to pause on? I don't know what to pause on. Okay, we'll switch later or something.
Okay, so
let's introduce the panel members. You just sit.
Yeah.
We can't just watch videos. Think that, right? We have Nelufar, Aydad, Google Hair, at this point. We have Sophia de Gallier. Google her. Michael Yiannopoulos. Google him. James Cook. Google him. And me. Three of us have Wikipedia pages. And only Milo is verified on Rap Genius. Nelufar is on Wikipedia. James is about to be verified on Twitter. Fia is actually the only one who knows about Gamergate from a feminine point of view. Yeah. Start with Milo and the lady we saw, Anita Sarkeesian. You wrote a lot about her. Yeah. What was the latest thing you wrote about her? She's like a symbol of feminism in video games. Maybe take this one.
Well, she represents a community of quite hardline feminist activists who want to change video games and most gamers' minds to the worse. And she perpetuates this idea that women are victims, and she's not really a victim, she's a very well-funded, very intelligent, very articulate woman who has decided that she wants to go to war on video games. The reason this is a controversy in the first place is that women like her have gone into other fandoms before. They've gone into comic books, they've gone into fantasy, they've gone into sci-fi, and in each of those little worlds, people have capitulated, and they have taken games and books and comic books off the shelves, they've retroactively changed the sex of characters to satisfy the whims of these, you know, fringe people. Gamers are the first community who said, actually, the criticisms that you're making have no validity whatsoever. What you're saying isn't a fair depiction, you're cherry-picking tiny scenes from vast video games. You could do it about Hollywood movies, you could do it about Victorian novels, for God's sake. You're cherry-picking ridiculous things to paint this bizarre idea that video games are somehow intrinsically sexist, which, as an art form, they're simply not. And we're not going to stand for it. We don't want it, and we'd rather you weren't in video games. And
We
being most gamers,
Adam Baldwin.
Mostly being, well, and Baldwin indeed is...
Can you switch place just with Fia, so just not guys and ladies?
Sure.
Adam Baldwin invented the Gamergate hashtag.
Yes, so he's a Hollywood actor who is a bit of a geek icon. He was in...
A bit of like a host here.
Yeah. I like you on the stool.
Yeah.
So he was in Firefly, he was in... He was in Full Metal Jacket, which is where most men know him from. And he invented this hashtag to describe two things. One is video gamers rejecting these feminist critiques, and two, for a decade or more, video gamers had been very frustrated with games journalism in the way that it wasn't doing its job properly. It was kind of like a rubbishy sort of trade press that wasn't doing its job properly. It was way too close to people like Sarkeesian, repeating her criticisms uncritically, repeating the claims of some women to have been threatened with death and rape. And many of these claims don't stand up to scrutiny. Uncritically repeating them. And these two issues are what gamers effectively rebelled over. And they were the first fandom to do that.
Let's have Tia and Fia. What, when you hear about Gamergate, what comes to mind?
I think, firstly, I would have to disagree slightly with you, Milo, on the fact that Anita Sarkeesian's criticisms are... but as you said, and I agree with you on, it happens in all media, in films, books, whatever. So, you know, she is choosing to focus on that medium. But having spoken to a lot of female and male players of all kinds of video games, a lot of the women that I spoke to had actually been subjected to abuse and negative comments online while playing games. So I think there is a degree of sexism within video gaming, but I, from what I have found myself, I would say it's a vocal minority, and I feel with Gamergate that the initial concerns over ethics in journalism with the developers and journalists sort of cozying up together, that was kind of dealt with when sites like Polygon and Kotaku changed their policies. So journalists...
Is that like Gawker sites?
Yeah, so Kotaku is a gaming site owned by Gawker, and after some complaints that journalists were donating to crowdfunders for indie developers and stuff, they're now all required...
You don't understand, you can just like say anything.
If there is any relationship there which could be seen as a conflict of interest, they're now required to disclose that. So, in my opinion, that's kind of a victory. That was what people wanted when they were saying there's an ethical considerations, and that's now been changed. But then I feel that the conversation was hijacked by this vocal minority that do have quite
a... Is that
a
right-wing minority, would you say? That hates women, want to keep games?
I don't think it's a widespread thing within people who play games as a whole. I do think it's a minority. But I think that there is opposition towards gaming sites covering a political agenda like equality and feminism. And I don't think it should be a problem. I don't think gaming press should be immune from getting involved in cultural issues like that.
But you understand that the reason people are upset is a perception that all these sites are doing. That in fact, it wasn't that there was this multiplicity of opinions in gaming on websites, that they were only talking from this sort of what we call the social justice warrior narrative. They were saying there was something intrinsically wrong with male products for men having explosions and boobs in them. And there is nothing wrong with that. And what they were also saying, and this is where the theory starts to break down, is that has effects on society. And it doesn't. I mean, the jury's very much out on whether there's any effect whatsoever on society from video games, whether there's any effect on the way that somebody behaves having played a video game. In fact, most of the evidence suggests that when people get out of their systems playing video games, they're nicer to each other in real life. And so,
a question to James, are there any feminist video games? Like, were you men prostitutes?
There are male prostitutes. In fact, Grand Theft Auto 4, one of the games mentioned in Vinicio Kizian's video, has a DLC, an add-on pack called The Ballad of Gay Tony, which focuses on male skating. So I don't see how you can really sort of say that it's an anti-women game. I mean,
GTA, boy.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto is not an anti-women game. I mean, there are female prostitutes in it. There are female prostitutes in New York City. I'm not saying that New York City is somehow inherently sexist. I mean, there are obviously problems within it. Grand Theft Auto is, think of it as a Hollywood movie. It tells the story of an immigrant coming to a city and the things he encounters within it.
And women can play it and enjoy it just as much?
They can indeed, yeah. They can play online as well.
Like Charlie Booker said, more women are playing video games?
No, so that study has been sort of debunked, as it were, because people were asked, have you played a video game in the last 6 months or whatever? And everyone says yes, and of course some people turn out, and then they study again, and actually that figure isn't quite right.
Yeah.
So it's important to look at when we see studies relating to the number of people playing video games to really look and drill down on the statistics to see what that actually means.
That's it, Nelu Farr. So the lady that was interviewed, she got death threats, and she had a concert an appearance in Utah. So getting death threats means you're doing something good vis-a-vis Charlie Hebdo?
I think I'm kind of confused as to where this conversation is kind of going. Everyone seems to be saying slightly different things. I probably be the person that plays video games the least, but I'm familiar with it only through what my younger siblings play. But it seems to me that there's an issue about tropes, about what we deem to be acceptable in video games as a genre itself. So whether it's acceptable to have bare-chested, naked, slave women. And then there's an issue about this woman, Elisa, herself. I mean, I've seen that video and I've seen other things that she's written and researched on this. And, by acting the way that some gamers have acted by brandishing her as the social justice warrior, it says a lot about them. It says a lot about the scene. And that, to me, speaks volumes. If she's being kind of getting death threats, I can't remember her name, but on Twitter, the woman who was arguing for more women on banknotes in Britain got death threats.
Caroline Criado Perez.
A beautiful name it is. But the point is that ultimately it says a lot about the scene, any scene, whether it's gaming or otherwise. If I watch an Al Pacino movie, or if I watch a gangster movie, or as I was doing earlier today, watching Sopranos, and I see a scene in which they're in a bar, there's naked ladies dancing everywhere, whatever, I accept that as part of that, as a trope of that genre. What I don't accept is for somebody who voices their opinions to then receive death threats, or to be called out as being hostile. You can't call hostility out by being hostile. It doesn't make sense.
No, but This is the great sort of moral gesture of our age. It's this great argument, and people are never consistent on this point. If you concede that it is a vocal minority, yet you say that it says something about the culture in general, that these fringe minority people are indulging a certain sort of behaviour, well, we don't apply the same argument to anything else. I mean,
we apply to Islam at the moment with ISIS. Most Muslims are expected to apologise for something they have no responsibility for, so I'm not sure if that's
right. Right, so you're saying that's wrong. Why is it right to brand Muslims?
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's a debate that's needing to be had. I'm saying this is it's a very healthy thing to be able to talk about. But what I'm saying is doing it weak hostility, doing it with your back up against the wall, isn't the right way.
I mean, it's the internet. There are crazy people, and crazy people hijack the debate. So that's, it says nothing about what average gamers are like. It says nothing about what ordinary people are like. You know, ISIS says nothing about what ordinary Muslims are like. So I don't understand your point when you say, this tells me something about gaming culture, when you yourself admit that it probably does.
Thanks. It says something about a group within that context, within that, within
ISIS
that group.
Is within Islam.
So,
ISIS,
I completely understand what you're saying, but still...
It's a ridiculous analogy.
It's not really, because if you, by extension, if we're having a debate at the moment between all of us, in all countries, or in all countries around the world, about whether it is Muslim clerics or... I mean, this is going a completely different angle, by the way, guys. I wasn't expecting this. But the point is that people who... are within a certain group are expected to kind of be responsible for that group. And the problem I have isn't with the tropes in games. I don't have a problem with that. I think within that genre, if it's accepted, that's great. But even if a minority is coming out within that group that says you should die for having this opinion, then that needs to be discussed.
So how do you police the third-party trolls who are responsible for the vast majority of death threats and rape threats? They're third-party trolls who just want to screw up with everybody. I mean, how do you address that? I mean, these people aren't part of Gamergate. They're not gamers. When you, in addition, add the fact that most of the women who have claimed to have had rape and death threats, their stories unravel very quickly when you start looking into the claims that they've made. They simply don't bear scrutiny. And many of these women have financial interests in the claims that they make. Every single one of them goes on a press tour about their threats, starts a Patreon, and gets an income solely and exclusively on the basis of the threats that they've received.
Okay, firstly, I would say that the fact that they've received threats at all is something that they obviously shouldn't be bringing attention
but
to.
But it's a question of debate, it's not a certainty.
I've not looked into the threats that have been directed at every woman in Gamergate, but I have looked at some that were tweeted at Anita Sarkeesian after she released a particular video, and the evidence was there that she received threats. So whatever the backstory was to her getting those threats, somebody had said these vulgar things to her, and I think, yeah, of course she should bring that to people's attention, because that is not acceptable behaviour from anyone on any subject, to threaten to rape or kill somebody for having an opinion, and as she says, Nelafar. But the other thing that I noticed on the flip side is that the harassment also seemed to be coming from people that were against the Gamergate movement, directed at people who were supporting it. So I would say that I think that as well is utterly abhorrent behaviour, because both sides threatening each other is not going to start a debate.
Why do you think no one reported on that?
Going back to your point earlier about there being a kind of politically correct agenda in the press, I have to say I do agree with you to a point on that, because for Zoe Quinn, for example, the developer who was...
Depression Quest?
Sorry? Yeah, she developed Depression Quest. Gamergate, in a nutshell, kind of kicked off because an ex-boyfriend of hers posted a blog about her cheating on him with a number of people, allegedly.
She's a game developer.
She's a developer. Some of the people he accused her of sleeping with were writers at sites like Polygon and Kotaku. But all the press that she received in the main, in things like The Guardian and stuff, didn't bring up an issue, and I've lost my words, harassment that it was thought that she may be behind against another venture.
Yeah, she lied about me. She lied to Boston, to the Boston Police Department about me in a...
James, did she lie about Milo?
I had a look at that court document. Milo was reported to have been associated with a group of people that harassed women online.
What she specifically said was that I went on a live stream and I gave out her address and her phone number and provided links to her... pornographic pictures. She's a former porn actress.
Is this in your book?
Well, it will be, yeah. And none of this was true. She's lied under oath in court in Boston about me, about other people. She claimed to a photographer 5 years ago that she'd stabbed a man in the face who was trying to rape her and killed him and not reported
how
to the police.
How did I look at you, James?
I mean, a lot of the mainstream figures in video games are notoriously unreliable. I mean, video games still... video game is still an industry, it's in its infancy, it's still very new. I mean, there's more money in it than Hollywood, but a lot of the mainstream video game developers find it hard to cope with their fame. So when Zero Quinn made something like Depression Quest, they got very popular very quickly, and it attracts a lot of notoriety very quickly. And sadly, what that happens is it produces a lot of drama. So I think what we've seen, certainly in the past with video games, is we see controversies like Gamergate. Gamergate is not the first controversy within video games, it certainly won't be the last.
Like EA, the game developing EA would take care about it?
Yes, so EA is a very, very controversial name in video games. It's a mainstream publisher which a lot of people feel pumps out low quality games for maximum profit. So all we really need to do, certainly from my point of view, is to instill within the video game community and within journalism ways to protect people against threats, because threats go both sides, harassment goes both sides. And I think if we take away anything from Gamergate, one thing should be that we need to protect both video gamers, journalists, and people who make the game as well.
Like with their power?
I mean, we need to ensure that game developers know that if you publish a game, you can get death threats, and we need to make sure that the people who play the games know that that's not okay.
People laugh about this, but it's a fact of being in public life.
I thought at one point.
It's a fact of being in public life, but it doesn't. It's not in the job description. Do you know what I mean? I'm happy for you to the point is simple. It's why, oh why, if it's in its infancy, should this be an a priori? Why should it be something that we accept as being there before we actually start, or whether this industry develops or evolves? That's a really fundamental question. And when I say hostility, I don't just mean death threats, although I love that that's the only kind of example we use.
Yeah.
Sort of false allegations. If Milo, this woman, has done what you say she's done, then she's an ass. Really, but she's broken the law. She should be in prison. But if we just expand it for just a little while, you know, if video gaming is in its infancy and it's going to continue to grow and it's going to have new markets everywhere, just from reading it briefly, then why would you accept the mistakes of other businesses and other industries? Why should that be acceptable?
This has got nothing to do with video games. It's the nature of it's the nature of human beings. It might be ugly, it might not be ideal, but it exists precisely like this. It looks exactly like this in every other industry. Everywhere. It's the cost of being a public life. I get death threats every week. I don't go on a press tour about them and try and raise money off the back of them. Well, I had a syringe through the mail in a jiffy bag, just straight up the needle, not in anything, with clear liquid in it. I had no idea what was in it. Well, I nearly tried it. I thought I was missing out on something fun, but I had a dead.
What do you think is the main audience that threatens you?
Well, I no way to know.
Women,
but my, well,
women,
probably like feminist people. Campaigners who think that me questioning, for example, another developer who's at the centre of this. Rihanna Wu, who lied again about being driven from her home by death threats.
She's a
game developer. She wasn't driven from her home because every TV interview she gave throughout this period was in the same room, and that room was identified as her living room.
She lied
about being driven from home.
Is she an unreliable character, like Milo says?
I mean, a lot of people in video games are unreliable. Phil Fish is a very well-known video game developer. There was a documentary about him. He produced the game Fez, I believe, and he quit video games entirely.
Why?
Because video games are inherently dramatic, as are movies, as are art, as are writing books. If you're in the public eye, you're going to get harassed. I'm sorry, but it's a fact of the matter.
And then what's happened in video games is people with specific political ideologies and agendas have used a fact of public life to push a particular, specific, and most gamers, in most gamers' opinion, counterproductive idea of what video games should look like off the back of what is simply a fact of being public life. You don't have to agree with that being a pleasant thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to say that's okay and we should put up with it,
yeah,
but it is what it is.
I think people that the campaigns that you're talking about don't, you know, somebody like Anita Sarkeesian may obviously want all of those kind of images and tropes to be removed from games, but I think many of her supporters actually don't want that kind of censorship to happen. It's just about pointing out that it's there and that it may be harmful, it may be encouraging the kind of minority that I think we've all agreed hijacks the Gamergate discussion to contribute towards that kind of hatred and misogyny that obviously does exist in some corners. Now, going back to your point about the issue being with the games press only covering that agenda, I think one of the problems with them covering the other side is that the people who are saying that there's an ethical problem, we don't need to get rid of these sort of tropes and images because they're enjoyable for men, there isn't one appointed, intelligent, eloquent spokesperson that can do that, because Gamergate is so faceless. It's something that started on message boards. That, you know, if somebody could come forward and put forward an argument without including harassment and death threats, then yes, absolutely, I think that a rebuttal should be given a voice.
I mean, feminist critic, Christina Hoff Summers did.
Was she?
Christina Hoff Summers, a feminist academic.
Oh, she precisely did this.
She addressed the criticism and the concerns that any Sarkeesian made directly, and she explained why they were invalid. The response she got? Death threats, rape threats. She had her Wikipedia page vandalized, and she, to imply that she was a sort of anti-feminist.
Can you measure which side sent them more death threats? Or,
absolutely, the anti-gaming
against
far worse things. People were swatted. Gaming against sports were swatted. They had the emergency services called to their houses.
Which side sends more death threats and abuse?
Far worse. It's
very, very difficult. I mean, the nature of 4chan, 8chan, which are some of the internet message boards that these discussions have started on, is that they are anonymous or pseudonymous. So it's very, very difficult to understand how much harassment goes into
more
way, the source of it. I mean, everyone's passionate about this. Gamergate is a very divisive issue.
Of course, winning, you could say like the men winning in a way? More video games are like.
Hopefully, at the end of the day, it's video games that will win. I mean, that's what we can take away from this.
I saw an example in the latest video where you use women as weapon, not just look at them rape, you just throw the women at the boss.
That's a very specific example of a video game.
You can use specific examples on every count. Mine, just to go back to something you said. You said these are a few people who are ruining it for the rest of us. That these guys are the exception and not the rule. How many incidences must you cherry pick before you have a case? How many instances must you kind of highlight, or okay, let's not then. But in terms of kind of just in terms of, you know, you can say, oh, but that's an exception. Oh, but throwing a woman as a weapon is an exception. Oh, but having to rape this woman to get to the next level is an exception. Oh, but this is just a trope. What I'm trying to say to you is, what point do you decide that it is no longer an exception, that these people are exceptional on both sides? Like, I completely agree with you. I think some feminists can be incredibly militant.
Video game developers with players, you're saying, at what point do we accept that this is a sexist thing? Well, the gamers aren't responsible for the games that are developed by students.
But this whole thing is embroiled in one another. You can't separate.
So what harm is it doing?
What do you mean, what harm is it doing?
If men want to play games, explosions and boobs and prostitutes and violence, what harm are they doing?
So long as you understand it for what it is,
we do.
It's fine. What isn't okay is when you say that when someone comes out and makes a game like Depression Quest, which I tried to play, didn't get it, wasn't for me. It's a very strange kind of reading thing that you have to do. And you have to choose options. But the problem is when you don't have. When you don't allow something like that to exist, when you stop
it. It was like one of the top games on Steam. It's one of the most famous. It's one of the most famous video games ever made. How has it stopped?
Maybe people want to the army does. What do you want?
No, go ahead. No, I was just going to say. I think most people who play those games probably do just accept it for what it is, and then don't carry out that behaviour in real life. As you know, the same can be said for. Rock music like Marilyn Manson and Judas Priest, like we all know now that they were not responsible in encouraging people to commit high school massacres. So I think the same is true in the main for games. But as long as there are still girls playing games who are being told things like you can't play because you're a girl and you don't know what the fuck you're doing, there is a problem there.
Stop playing the playground as well.
Well, yeah, but that kind of attitude, I think, you know, rather than focusing
on kids' records, they do the playground.
No, absolutely not. I'm not saying people should get a criminal record for saying things like that.
So where do you stop policing people where people interrupt?
But I think it's more, rather than saying let's censor all these and get rid of these images, it's people's attitudes. Well, no, and I don't agree with that.
You say
if I
take
it
off the shelf,
right? Well, I don't think we should be censoring everything that made basically negative. But I do think there is an issue with people's attitudes if they're making comments like that.
Is it a shout from the crowd? Do you want to the shelf? Anybody feels passionate? Please say something.
Can someone talk about the fact that women like to play games as well?
Yeah.
Well, they don't like to play the same games, and they don't play.
Well,
I mean, there's also outraged yelps from the back, but we can speak in facts because we know this. We know that women play different games to men. They prefer.
Well, how do you know that? Well, you give me some examples.
Well, for
example, not necessarily, because the people that I spoke to that were receiving
this is not a
playing the same
point.
Games that their boyfriends were playing.
They're in the minority. The hardcore gamers who play violent.
They're not minority. 51% UK gamers are female.
Okay, we just well, James already explained to you why you're mistaken about that. That statistic takes into account things like Candy Crush. It takes into account things like Candy Crush. It's very consistent. When you look at sophomore statistics from universities, there's almost a 25% difference. Men who say that video games are very important to them versus women who say video games are important to them. These are not contentious statistics, they're simply facts. If it were the case, well, you can look up Christina Thomas' work at the American Enterprise Institute. These are not contentious statistics.
So, I mean, I am a video game journalist, I'm a video game fan, I work very closely with video game developers, and I know the process that goes into developing video games. I know that millions of dollars are spent on market research or even commissioning a video game.
What about the statistics you said, like how many women, like games for women, minus
yeah, sex? So there was one study that came out that claimed that 51% of video gamers are women. And obviously every journalist picks that up because that's a really surprising statistic, and as a journalist we love surprising statistics. It could be true, but when you look down at the facts and you actually read the paper that was published and the questions, it doesn't really hold up because it makes into. How many do I think? I don't think it's 51%. I don't think the majority of video game fans are women.
It seems.
What do you
want
to
say?
Yeah,
it's a 51% study.
Go on.
It's true that 51% of gamers are women, but when you break it down by genre, there are differences in tastes across the genders. So,
what that quiz?
So, I mean, games like Candy Crush, The Sims tend to be far more popular with women than games like Dota. Obviously, there are plenty of Dota.
Because you kill women in other games.
What?
Because you kill women in other games.
I don't know the reason, but in the hardcore game genre, women are a minority, but in other games, they aren't. It depends on the genre.
I think
so maybe women don't like to play games, so you like abuse them.
But then, why?
I say this, the majority of characters killed in video games are, of course, men. You're shooting men. Mm-hmm. If you go through, all levels of any of these violent games, 99% of people you kill are men.
I can't understand whether this is a cause or an effect. Do women choose not to play games because the gaming industry is such a way that they don't feel like they can, or is it the other way around? It's an interesting question to kind of explore whether it's a cause or an effect.
Well, I think the games developers are going to develop games that appeal to. If they thought there was an untapped market, it's an 80 by the end of last year, $86 billion industry, bigger than Hollywood. If video game developers, big studios with lots of money, lots of research, thought there was a market for women in these games, they'd make them. They don't.
So you said 51%. You want to say what kind of video games you think the 51% of them?
Games that cost $200 million to make are commissioned on the basis of hearsay from a vocal minority. You don't think that extensive market research is done?
The culture. There are many fantastic games that have come out in the last year or two that have female protagonists. The Last of Us, Bayonetta 2, Bioshock.
Which was rubbished by feminists because her tits were too big. That wasn't good enough for them either.
I was going to say, going back to you saying that these statistics are wrong because they include mobile games and things like Candy Crush and stuff, which obviously is not on par with a linear adventure type game. But as there was a piece actually, I think the piece which caused Intel to pull advertising from Gamasutra by Lee Alexander, which sort of rubbished the notion of a gamer identity. And used some quite offensive stereotyping, to be fair, but made the point that the idea of a gamer being a guy who sits in his pants shooting things is no more, because it's evolving, and it does include different genres, different games, different platforms. So why shouldn't mobile gaming be included in that statistic? Because it's still people that play games.
Because it's a misnomer. It doesn't. It's.
It doesn't have a culture.
Right? But also because I mean I understand what you're saying and what your point is. And if you do enjoy playing, I mean there's nothing on earth that I could think that would bring me to tears other than sitting there and playing shoot 'em up. Like I can't think of anything that's more not me personally. Whether that's because I'm a woman or not, I don't think so. It's just a taste issue. And you're right. If what you're finding is that. In essence, the identity of who a gamer is changing, then that's great. It seems to me that gaming games itself, whether it's about a begrudged ex-boyfriend who's written this article, whether it's about should we have naked women with big tits in video games, it seems like a teething problem. It's in the evolution of kind of video games as an industry, as it grows, this is a great debate and discussion to be having. Whoever stand on whatever side you stand. But you need to be clear, what is it you're talking about? Are you talking about the developers? And are you talking about the people who play games? Or are you talking about the tropes in the game? They're very different things.
James, maybe we need just one ultra-feminist game where you circumcise men.
I'd play that.
Just one.
I'd really enjoy that. I know there was a game.
No, no.
Right. I would play a game with lots of you know, big chests and rippling muscles and huge forearms, for reasons that are probably obvious. No, there isn't, which is why those games don't exist, because there's no market for it, because girls and gays don't want to play that.
No market for that.
I mean, there are niche markets for video games, which is why we have a thriving indie game development scene where anyone can build a game themselves, which is what Depression Quest came on, Zoe Quinn's game. What I think personally is quite important on this, as a journalist who's worked with video game journalists, is we look at the way that video games are portrayed in the press, and we look at the way that video game journalists have relationships with developers, both professionally and personally. And I've certainly seen in the last sort of 10 years or so is that as video game journalism has moved from published, printed magazines to online blogs, I've seen a different professionalism there. And I don't see the same kind of reliable coverage with video games as I do with things like movies or books.
Do anyone actually read game journalism? Like, no, anyone cares about that?
Yeah, I mean, I am a journalist who writes about video games.
Like a review?
You're a dying
game?
Breed, aren't you?
I am a dying breed,
people,
yeah.
People don't believe anything that you write anymore. Any of these game journalists write for the review to find out whether video games are good or not, they go to YouTubers.
Yeah, I am part of the problem.
I also part of the problem. You're probably on the more acceptable end. But
what game do you review recently?
I don't do game reviews, but I write about things that happen within the video game community, which has a huge mainstream audience.
Like the latest story.
So I read about a lot of controversy with Grand Theft Auto because the new version of Grand Theft Auto 5 has a first-person view which allows you to kill prostitutes in high definition. Personally,
because
I'm not
of the high definition. That's what bothers
me.
Yeah, that's the issue. Well, you were upset. Personally, I wasn't upset, but I recognised a lot of people were, so I thought it was worth covering.
You're absolutely right about the teething troubles. What happened is this industry grew very quickly, and games journalists who were used to writing effectively for trade, like sort of low-rent trade magazines, like you'll get sort of magazines about, car magazines more consumer now, but sort of certain property magazines, a lot of business magazines, they're sort of written for other journalists, they're written for the industry, very low ethical standards, most of the content is in some way bought in, and very homogenous opinions about everything. That's what happened to video games journalism, except abruptly, the people who were writing in this, largely unprofessional, ethically compromised, and ideologically homogenous way, suddenly found themselves consumer journalists because millions of people were reading what they were writing overnight, and their principles and practices did not evolve fast enough to cope with that. And that is part of the problem.
What if someone would invent a video game where you play the Prophet Muhammad, not in an offensive way, just a historical game, you walk. It's an animation of Muhammad, you walk like Muhammad, you do stuff in Jerusalem,
and you're a wife.
So as a Muslim, I think it's a great idea. I think, in a sense, I think if what you're saying, Milo, is that it's absolutely fine to have these kind of tropes and these kind of characters, if it's all right to have prostitutes that are shot or whatever, if all of that is fine, and damsel in distress, like don't let's start about that, then it should equally be okay to kind of be able to take the piss of other things and be able to kind of say that. But with that great freedom comes great responsibility. And if you are going to be a games journalist, if you're going to be a player, an advocate, a writer, about these things, then you can't have one without the other. No industry, including Hollywood, has one without the other. You must explain and analyze and break down and unpack things like that. Why is it okay for you to see this, or why is it okay to have this kind of an
opinion? I don't think anybody argues with that. I think what gamers were frustrated with was there was only one quite ideologically extreme point of view being expressed at all in the mainstream games press. That's all they were upset about. There had been a lively debate of opinions, a lively exchange of views. Much of this was done
between like which views, like.
Well, people.
It completely discounts the context in which gamers work, which is online. So while you have one very extreme opinion being expressed through mainstream media, the conversations that were happening by the community were rampant and very, very well versed and heard. So I just don't think.
Can you give us an example?
The extreme sides of what you're saying, just you don't know anything about video games. You don't know anything about the community. It's too extreme, and you're being too generalistic.
You should answer if he knows anything.
You may.
I will put myself in.
I can attest to Milo's knowledge of video games.
Does he play?
Milo does play. Milo is a player. So when I first met Milo, Milo didn't play video games at all. And as part of researching Gamergate, he has played
video
games extensively.
Probably Postal 2.
Since last week.
No. You can watch his Twitch streams online.
So just say what is Postal 2 and then...
Oh, Postal 2 is this wonderful game where you get
you
get to go around and decapitate people and urinate on corpses and kill the police.
And you play that for research?
Riots. No, because it's fun.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, maybe that's what you do in real life.
Really?
I think you are right in saying that a lot of the frustrations of gamers were seeing that the press that they relied on just for a straight up review, it's good, it's bad, it's got so however many stars, that's kind of disappeared in favour of more discussion about what's right or wrong within games. And as I've already said, I think it's absolutely right that these discussions are being had, because the notion of what it means to be a gamer is evolving. And, you know, I don't agree that things like mobile games or games with seemingly, you know, no point or no consequence should be completely written off. But I also want to go to something that you wrote, drawing a comparison with UKIP. Milo wrote, I think you wrote basically something on the
Christian.
I actually agree with you in that a lot of the press, it was just anything about UKIP, let's just ridicule the press, take the piss. When actually, some of UKIP's policies are nothing to do with race or immigration. They've got policies about saving Greenbelt, about reinstating Britain's fishing waters, which has nothing to do with race or immigration, but that's not reported on, and it should be.
I think the point I was making was. Plenty of normal, ordinary people who are not bigoted, who are not racists, ordinary, you know, regular people with regular concerns who are attracted by things like UKIP.
Yeah.
Like there are plenty of normal, ordinary gamers who don't consider themselves to be bigots or racists or misogynists or sexists, who every time they see themselves or something they associate with in the press, they see it being attacked. And one of the reasons it was so easy for the feminists to go after gamers is that they have no social capital. The right hates them, the left hates them, everybody
Milo,
hates them.
Why do you keep saying that when you play video games and you're pissing on dead corpses that it's less likely to make you do it out on the street?
Well, it's a little joke, because I was saying earlier that
But it's things to that effect. I mean, what you keep saying is that there's some sort of level of catharsis involved in video gaming.
Yeah,
by raping women in video games, that you're less likely to do it when you're out on the street?
No, I'm being flippant. The point I'm trying to...
But where do you draw that line, though?
The point I'm trying to make is that the evidence that games could make somebody sexy in real life does not exist. There is evidence to show that young men who play very violent video games behave better to each other in real life. So I'm being flippant, sure. Obviously, I am not somebody
who's
likely to
murder. So video games in which you go out and you do rape prostitutes,
it's an art form in which you investigate taboos, the forbidden, things you can't do in real life.
Question for,
and that's the same with movies, books, and video games, but it's only video
except
games.
You never control. You can't. I can't read a book and control what happens or where it ends or how it comes.
More immersive and more exciting.
Yes, but why do you? I'm just in. interested in why you seem to think there's a level of catharsis or remedying.
Well,
there's
a level of catharsis in
the question for a second.
Sure.
So I think I have to state my bona fides. I've been playing computer games since they came on audio cassette tapes and you played them through the TV.
The
so I've been playing computer games for long enough to ask this question, I hope. And really, the entire heritage of the video games debate has been disagreeing with the notion that video games make people violent. The questioning now is about whether pissing on dead corpses makes people violent. I've spent my whole life arguing that I've spent my whole life arguing, as all good gamers would, that there is no correlation between playing computer games and being violent. So this is a two-part question. For those people who think that there is a problem with Anna Sarkeesian, and for those people who aren't relaxed about her getting death threats, isn't it the obligation of the gaming community to say, no, death threats are not par for the course. Death threats are coming from people who are not true gamers, because true gamers are not violent. And we have an obligation to call those people out in the interests of gaming, to say that there is no violence in gaming culture, and these death threats do not come from people playing reviews. But the second part of the question is, equally, if when I play GTA, it doesn't make me want to run down people in the street, why would it make me sexist? Why would any sexist imagery possibly persuade me to become more sexist in my real life?
You want my little talk with that?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be very quick. Don't speak so much. Second part, you made your own point in the second part. It wasn't really a question. It was a perfectly, it was a reasonable piece of reasoning. Of course it doesn't make you sexist, like it doesn't make you violent. And as the first bit of your question, what's exactly what gamers did do? There were hashtags about it. There were campaigns to stop trolling, to condemn death threats. It's exactly what Gamergate.
But your primary interest is looking into whether or not some of those death threats might not be real. Whereas my primary interest would be in that lady's safety.
Well, the question is whether or not they were ever at risk to begin with, and in most cases the answer is no.
Just whether they were physically at risk, because if they think they're at risk, if someone is, if in Britain last year someone went to prison by texting someone and trolling someone, right, by threatening them with things. Yes, of course I agree with it, because whether it's real or not, I believe it to be real. If I believe it to be real, if I believe that this person is going to rape me, whether they intend to or not, it's a matter of for threatening to rape me. If they say to me time and again they're going to rape me,
I'm wondering, do you think that people should go to prison for what we're really talking about, online threats, right?
Sure. 1, 2, 3, a month, 2 months, how much? Why should
a specific person who is persecuting you, who is stalking you, then sure.
Yeah, there are laws against that sort of thing.
Right.
So then, by extension, because stalking is against the law, if someone is constantly threatening me, which that's never happened to me, but someone in my office, I work for Channel 4 News, has had this.
But you're conflating constant threats from one person.
But you
with
brought it in. But what
threats.
I'm trying to say to you is at no time should it ever be acceptable to threaten or harass somebody because of their opinion. At no time.
Nice,
and
think
it's not about
saying,
it being
less. It's very nice, but if I get pissed off with somebody and say I'm going to slit their throat, I'm going to prison for it.
Well, you
that
might though, because no, but why don't you call her an ugly, pretentious, over the top?
You've probably already done that.
Well, but that's you have a right to, as quoting David Cameron here from earlier today, because this is all up in the ether at the moment. You have a right to offend. You have a right to have an opinion that offends me. What you don't have a right to do is to then take it to the next level and threaten me.
Yeah.
And by saying things like that, well, threatening it is unacceptable.
No, I agree. I do. I think, you know, the fact of whether these people were actually at risk of violence is kind of immaterial, really, because somebody had taken the time to make not just one threat, but an absolute barrage of threats. And it's all about context, really, because if you're having an argument, say, with a friend or a family member, and you say, oh, I'm going to kill you if you say that again, you know, both of you know that you don't mean that, but putting something in the public to someone that you don't know just purely for having an opinion that you don't like, then yes, absolutely, that should be in the room.
Two of these three women.
Which women?
Brianna Wu, Zoe Quinn, and Anita Sarkeesian. At least two of these three women have a long history of making this shit up.
Did they make it up, James?
That's probably one for Milo to answer.
You might
have
to say something else, yeah. You might maybe have to respond to Uber.
It's difficult to argue this point, just, you know, nobody else in the panel.
Do you know what Uber said? Do you want
to? Yes, so one thing I'd like to point out is obviously a lot of people say that video games make people violent. So far there's been no credible evidence for that. You know, I've killed prostitutes in video games, I've never killed prostitutes in real life.
Did you like it?
I mean, it's part of Grand Theft Auto, you get extra help from...
Who are you doing it one hand?
I've never liked anyone like killing a prostitute in a video game, I can publicly admit that.
You agree with, like, tweeting your results and, like, sharing it?
Yeah,
and sharing... You tweeted, like, seven horse bludgeons, do you do that?
I've never sent that tweet, no.
But we're already slipped into it. We've already slipped into it. Just by having this little banter moment on stage, we've already slipped into it. This is... case in point, you've proven what it is they're talking about. These banshee-esque type of women that kind of are constantly coming at you, Milo, with lawsuits that you keep going on about. You've kind of done exactly, case in point, what it is they're talking about. You slowly slipped into misogyny, offensive language that I find offensive as a woman, and giggled about it like it's some kind of frivolous bullshit. It isn't. It's offensive and rude.
Well, James started being offensive and rude. You just said I have a right to be offensive.
You have every right to be, but I need to point it out to you. You're fucking offensive and rude.
James, you also, the language.
I was also very bad. You know, look, I play violent video games. I play video games that a lot of people probably object to.
You play non-violent?
I also play non-violent video games.
Like which one?
I have Guitar Hero. I used to play Guitar Hero X.
Why are you embarrassed of that?
Because it's embarrassing video games.
Why is it embarrassing to your game?
It's a plastic guitar.
There's always been embarrassing about playing a guitar video game.
I'm
not
personally
Candy
embarrassed
Crush, which is obviously the no-go area.
I also play Candy Crush.
I play Fruit Ninja.
Fruit Ninja's also good.
You like Flappy Bird?
Yeah, I love Flappy Bird.
The point is that the language and lexicon is
playing it right now.
Sorry,
it's just probably good.
Sorry, just to be clear, the language that sometimes people fall into when they're talking about video games, when you're reading, all you have to do is read the comments or on somebody's YouTube post when they're playing a game. The language is an incredibly powerful thing.
Is it
right?
Like being vegan playing non-violent games?
Is it? I mean, look.
It's just, but when you are using offensive language, when you fall into that underlying subscribe of misogyny.
Like the commenters are. You use it as an example that there is this undercurrent of violent misogyny in society. You think that, you know, all men, you know, I'm not going to victimize you, but. Feminist campaigners suggest that what this language reveals, that there's a secret dark undercurrent of misogyny that sneaks out. I'm saying we're doing it to goad you because we think we should be able to piss people off and offend them and not have games removed from the studios or have them censored.
That's good. You?
Yeah, I do think a clear difference the way we do we see how these women are being judged. The way their character.
Women in the game, so like.
The women in the game in the industry. The way they're being targeted is horrendous. And I do think there's a correlation. It's not the correlation that we're going to end up killing prostitutes on the street. It's just that we don't. We don't evolve as a human race. And the problem is, we are like 50 years ago with racial issues in this. It's just a fundamental part of us evolving as humankind. Rejecting those attitudes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not the same attack. Not a single woman has been physically threatened. Yet
can
you have the compare this to the civil rights struggle when black people were hung from trees? How dare you?
Because women are being harassed and told they're going to be.
Oh God! They got some nasty messages on the internet. How awful.
Yes, it is awful because people are threatening to kill us.
Not a single woman.
So we have to wait for a woman to be massacred. Well, we have to wait for there to be a massacre. We have to wait for there to be women's heads found. Lambeth, kind of, you know, madman style for
you
to take it seriously, Milo. That's what all it takes you to take it seriously.
Give me an example of one instance when any of these threats has been remotely credible.
But it's not.
One,
but why should
right?
you don't know the intentions of these people?
You do when somebody comes from a tree, which is why
yes.
That comparison really ridiculous.
So that's what we have to do. We have to wait for women to start being hung from trees before
no,
my little.
What I'm saying is, it's obviously never going to happen.
But you don't. You can't know that because if someone has the sort of mindset that they can make that threat in the first place, you know. know, that's not something that a normal, sane person would. No, no, not obviously. But you can't be complacent about it.
You said male game developers also get threats.
Well, you're complacent about it by saying it's rubbish.
I'm saying, the problem with saying horse bludgeon. That's all I said. I said it to wind you up, it worked. And you totally took the bait.
Nobody's wound up about saying horse bludgeon. I just made a joke about it with James. I'm wound up about saying that death threats are something to be laughed at and not taken seriously.
If you enter public life, as these women did, purposefully and deliberately, and deliberately provoke men, and caught this...
Charlie Hebdo provoked people.
Say again?
Charlie Hebdo provoked people. I don't think you can suggest that provocation gives rise to death.
There's a difference between a couple of...
But they died, so they passed the bite, see? Technically speaking...
Don't you find that a bit of a call?
I don't know, but that's what you're suggesting, is what I'm getting from you.
But basically, people are
the civil rights struggle and Islamic extremism are real. The threats against women are nasty comments on the internet, not a single one of which in history has ever come to anything. Not in sci-fi, not in comic books, not in Hollywood, nothing ever.
Any specific men developer who game friend who get friends?
So Phil Fish is a really fantastic game developer who made a really popular game, Fez, and he now doesn't make games anymore because he had such a horrible, horrible time. And I don't know who the threats are from.
What kind of threats?
That seems to be pretty new. Death threats, insults, bad abuse of his game, posted by...
What was the game about?
Fez, it's like a side
I think the question is, was it because he was a man?
I don't think the threats were specifically targeted.
So it was the biggest reason. They're not really at all similar.
Was his personal life investigated as deeply as Zoe Quinn's?
Yes. Yeah, we know a lot about
it. Is he the only one?
Yes.
Hmm? Is he the only one?
I mean, a lot of game developers have a lot of very public issues. It takes a lot to be a game developer. It's a very laborious
task.
So, James,
can I just ask just a bit for my ignorance and just for my knowledge? Because I wonder, were these men, were they targeted because they were men? And was the stick, shall we call it, they were getting for it, I'd call it harassment, was that aimed at them, like, because they were men? Was that the issue?
I mean, some of the threats specifically
mentioned. What do you think the worst threat you got, this man?
I mean,
were people threatening to rape him?
Yeah, I mean, death
were they calling
threats.
Him a whore or a slut?
Well, actually, there was someone called Jack Thompson who did receive rape threats.
Was he?
He was a conservative sort of evangelical psycho around 2006-2007 who basically wanted to get GTA 5 pulled from shelves because he thought they were retailers were selling them to children. And he got all sorts of nasty threats, including rape threats. It was like a big WordPress mob on it, detailing every single one.
For people who want the GTA to stay, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that when women receive threats, they ought to be covered more. Because as a man, I mean, I don't know if I'm not sexually interested in women. I don't know if this has anything to do with it. I don't know. I feel from chivalry and courteousness and good, you know, trying to be a gentleman. I think when women receive these threats, it should be recognised that women, you know, are less resilient to them and should be treated. I think it's been established pretty well. By
you also don't think the pecky part of feminism
I think
or the
should,
real issue?
I think we should listen to women when they say that they get these
so
things.
You're kind of my. You are, what you just did to me, right, you said some titillating things to goad me so you could get a reaction from me. Then you got a reaction from me, and now you're saying that I shouldn't have reacted.
No, what I'm saying, well, that's a slightly different point. What I'm saying
that's
is...
That's what you're saying is that women can't handle it. Women say these provocative things. Women court these kind of reactions.
Well, you're not having this conversation very well.
But
I mean, I don't think women can handle it.
But what you're saying is...
I think it's okay
women,
to say that.
But so we ask these things to happen. So we ask for these harassments. We ask for the death threats.
So you ask for the
and we make careers out of it. So we make...
You didn't say you didn't say
and then... Anything. Sorry, to live, and I'll definitely let you... So we make careers out of it. And then we're just shit at that career. But we can't handle it. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, that's not what I said. Some women make careers out of
you want to
be... But they're less able to handle it.
Well, I think most women are less able to handle violent threats.
Can you give an example?
I think men are better at being able to shrug this stuff off. Yes, I do.
You want to give an example?
But I don't think anybody, male or female, who is receiving a violent threat should have to shrug it off. It's something that should be done about it.
You should have your thoughts on the men.
and that's a problem. Then it should be reported.
I got a syringe, I got a dead animal.
Okay, well, I did actually read about that.
Yeah, well, I'm writing about it, nobody else did.
Well, no, I can't remember where I read it, but I did read about you being posted a syringe with other than something that you had written, so it was being reported.
Yeah, because I'm willing to see Tilo and Kotaku to be even-handed. Women have had some nasty words on the internet. I had a fucking syringe in my front room.
And that is equally as wrong. But I don't think.
Equally as wrong.
You're
going to say,
Wait,
that's a question. So I think it was Milo made the point that there's a difference between people actually carrying out threats and carrying out violence against other people, and mere threats that, in his words, kind of have no plausible chance of ever being carried out. But, you know, within Gamergate, and against both sides of the argument, there has been more malicious activity than really making threats, in the form of doxing, releasing people's private information online, their phone number, their address, which opens the thing up to any, you know, idiot who wants to go along and carry out and act against that person to become actually something that could plausibly occur. So surely that.
Yes, that's perfectly true. And that's happened on both sides, and where it happens is outrageous. And it's what I was wrongly accused of doing by my third friend. That's you're absolutely right. It happens in both directions. And, you know, that is, I think, over the line when you publish somebody's home address or their phone number. That's a lot more than saying I'm gonna rape you or whatever. Most of this is just, you know, total nonsense. And the people who are writing it know it's nonsense, the people who are receiving it know it's nonsense. When you post somebody's home address and phone number, that is materially different. Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that. I can't argue that is the carrying out of the threat or it's the next step, but I still don't agree with your assertion that women are less able to deal with that sort of thing. I think, you know, the emotional response of receiving a threat or indeed an act of doxing or of receiving something unpleasant in the mail, which are all sort of like one step on from each other, really. And I don't think you can say someone just saying it is less serious, because obviously in your case somebody did carry something out and you don't know if the person who did that was someone else who was making threats elsewhere. But I think, you know, the emotional response of somebody to that is going to vary from person to person, regardless of gender.
What's weird, though, is you have, you know, feminists who say damsel in distress is, you know, the worst thing that's ever happened to video games. Yeah, as soon as they get something through the door, they cast themselves immediately in that role. They go immediately to men to complain about what's happened to them. They act out precisely the role they say is a terrible thing to happen in video games. They become living embodiments of the damsel in distress. Mm. I do think men are, and I don't think it's a hugely sexist thing to say.
Men are
better at shrugging this stuff off. And, you know, thank God we are, because we're a lot nastier to each other. We say much worse things to each other. You know, we're just better at letting each other.
James, where do you see it going, Game and Gay? Do you think anyone will get hurt? Do you think there are going to be more female video games out there?
I'm actually really pessimistic about what Game and Gay will achieve.
In the gaming industry,
I don't think it's going to have a lasting impact other than a lot of harassment and a lot of threats being cast around.
Because no game company wants to get involved, really. They want to stay away.
I mean, video game developers probably aren't going to change anything that was a game. Fantastically, what we have is indie developers who can make their own games, and we have platforms that can promote them, and through their fans we can share that work. But I don't think in 10 years' time we're going to be talking about gaming.
Maybe asexual games?
Asexual games.
I'm just saying as a technical option.
This is just
ask for Andrew Fumbers before I start bursting out in tears in a minute. I can't have it. Sorry, that was me trying. I take that back. I'm really sorry. But what I'm trying to say is, in terms of kind of, I adore classic gags for movies. But I adore old gags for films. I adore movies that either within the sci-fi genre or whatever genre that explore that darker, deeper side in literature or whatever it might be. What I don't appreciate, though, is if they're not recognised. There's a massive canon of criticism within the film industry, within the literature within literature that explores these things and highlights them and calls them out. No one gets a death threat for that. No one does. So stop saying it's acceptable. It is not acceptable. It's not acceptable in the slightest. But once you realise that, then you know, feel free. More pissing dead corpses, preferably of prostitutes.
Any new question? Someone says, yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead. You can never ask.
Do you think it's possible to
raise your voice?
Sorry. Is it possible to eliminate harassment and abuse online without also eliminating anonymity and really beefing up the law as well?
James,
how would you go about eliminating?
You always comment on your real name.
Yeah, I think it's hard to go online. I think as soon as you choose anonymity to any kind of online forum, you give people a free reign to say whatever they want. And in a way, you have to kind of defend that to an extent, because I don't want an internet where everyone's forced to use their real name. I don't think that's a healthy way to use the internet.
Video games like World of Warcraft, mm-hmm. You don't use your real name.
You don't use your real name, and World of Warcraft has a lot of harassment and trolling and threats cast around.
It's not just about it, it's people who, for example,
great
victims who want to talk about it who don't want to use their real name,
can
so
you
need to have that anonymity.
There's a huge value in anonymity.
Can you buy drugs in the chat of the video game?
You can buy drugs online anonymously. Yes, you can.
Because you're anonymous anyway in the video game, so you can use it.
To go away.
Yeah, I mean, the internet's a fantastic thing, and I don't want to stop policing it. But I obviously, if we could live in a world where there are no threats, no death threats online, that would be fantastic.
What about Words with Friends?
Sorry?
The game Words with Friends.
That's
Words
with Friends. Words with Friends. That's quite
possible.
Possible.
Yeah.
That's quite, well, that's in the Words
So you can
friends.
Chat, yeah.
That's quite passe.
Someone new want to ask something? Okay, yeah, go ahead, yeah. Okay, just finish it.
Milo mentioned that he didn't want people like me to Sarkeesian in the game industry. She wanted me to give just wanted to elaborate on the memoir.
You want someone else who looks like her.
And does that would be a relevant point, which you know, so you know,
okay, let me clarify what I said. I think that she's awarded space and press and platform entirely disproportionate to the quality of what she says. Most of her arguments don't set up scrutiny. I think she is an omnipresence in the game industry, which her work does not justify. And I like to see her out of the game industry because I think her arguments are wrong. But what I really mean is, you know, we need...
Doesn't that mean you're limiting her right to expression?
We need...
You yourself have said that you wish, you know, to publicize your views. Why is she not allowed?
Yes, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Will you cancel an event in Utah if you've got death threats and the police said?
Well, this is another thing.
Well, maybe you just go and do it.
Once you start unpicking these things, she didn't do it because of that. She did it as a political protest because of Utah's open carry laws. She was making a political point. It wasn't about threats. It was about the fact that people are allowed to wear guns and stuff in Utah. I've spoken too much already. You're right. It is. It behoves us to have our opponents speaking as strongly as possible so that when we beat them in arguments, we know that people really got it right. I'll just say one last thing, which is that and this is not an original point to me, there's so many quotes about this in history, but when you, and Katie Hopkins is the example of this, for hideousness.
She's a video game developer.
I kind of love that. When we stick up for free speech, we are never sticking up for paragons of civic virtue. We're always sticking up for the ugly fringes, because that's where we have to make our stance for free speech. We're always sticking up for the Julian Blocks. We're always sticking up for the Dapper Laughs, Julian Assange. We're always sticking up for these controversial people at either end. And you know, it looks it can look like I'm standing up here sticking up for misogynists. I'm not. I'm saying that you know, when you take a hard
word, stick out for instead of misogyny, one word like.
I don't know. The gatriarchy.
Gatriarchy. Yes, his comment there, continue.
So there was a question about like where the game is going. I've been sort of covering it since about September for TechCrunch and a number of other outlets. So I think there are probably two things that keep on driving it. The first thing would be the fact that games still believe that the press is treating them unfairly, and that they're going to continue to be treated unfairly, and that certain things like the harassment they receive just won't get coverage. And I suppose the second thing is the fear of, you know, censorship. And I think probably from what I've seen, games are less concerned with what people are, you know, people like Leeds Season are saying, so much what it might lead to in terms of these huge petitions to get games pulled from Steam or from
stores.
Yes, it's about what it might lead to. And so I think addressing those two concerns, both the unfair reporting, there seems to be a wide load of harassment on both sides, but there hasn't been reporting of the harassment on both sides. Do you know what I mean?
Do you want to say something about that?
Well, I agree with you, really. I don't think the reporting has been fair. I think, as I already pointed out earlier, the people who were against the Gamergate were harassing and abusing people who supported it. Supporters of Zoe Quinn performed a hack on an initiative called the Fine Young Capitalist that was trying to encourage diversity and get women into gaming, which is absurd, really, because you'd think that would be something that she'd support, given her stance in the industry. I do think that the reporting was unfair to gloss over those things. I don't think that political agendas coming into gaming press is necessarily wrong. I just think that there needs to be more of an intelligent counter-argument, because at the moment, all the reporting of people supporting Gamergate is just the trolls and the harassment, whereas that may not be the case. But somebody, and I don't know who or where from, needs to come forward and get a voice for those people into the press, so both sides feel like they're being represented. And yes, a minor, so it's just fine job.
Just it seems to me at the end of what seems to be like we're wrapping up, but yet again, it's not about the kind of the lies, the stratas that we seem to carve, representing what is actually happening out there. It doesn't seem to me to be Gamergate pro versus Gamergate con. It seems to me that there's a militant strand that goes laterally across it on both sides. There are militant feminists that are being dicks, and there are people within Gamergate who are being dicks also. I can say that one more time.
Bigger
militant. But the what I'm trying to say is that within either side, you have two forces working within it, which seems to me to be uniting people far more than whether you stand on for or against. It seems to me people who are militant about it and are absolutely hostile, and those who are saying, what is all this fuss about?
My own is a personal announcement about his face being featured in a video game.
The whole Gamergate thing is really about sort of authoritarianism and banning versus free expression.
You are going to be in again.
And the worst possible manifestation of free expression, the worst thing you could possibly imagine, I am going to be in a video game.
What's the name?
No, although I have just come back from Barbados, where I played that very successfully.
Pin penis on
the Milo.
Pin the penis on the Milo. Do you have a Milo in the video game?
I'm not supposed to tell you which game it is.
But will people be able to abuse you in the video game?
You will be able to decapitate me. You will be able to douse me with a lady on the blanket. You will be able to douse me in petrol and set me on fire. You will be able to machine gun me. You will be able to urinate on my corpse. You will be able to throw me off cliffs. You'll be able to all sorts of things. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell you what title it is yet, but yes, you will be able to do all of these things.
Illegally download this
game. I have no worries that it's going to make video gamers want to do it in real life.
Okay, Dan, thanks. Come, you can come and ask questions. It's been a pleasure. Hashtag Gamergate, thanks. Some video on. Intense.